Good morning. Before I get started with the sermon, let me just announce that Brother Alex Martinez, can you stand up? ¿Puede pararse, por favor, hermano? He's in the back. He's traveling from Mexicali in Baja California, and they went together as a family. He comes with his wife and two children, I think. And they traveled down to Sinaloa, and now they're coming back, way all the way back to Mexicali again. And what are they doing? They're preaching. He's preaching with his family, and they preached in several different places. And what they're doing is they're selling this CDs, and some of the songs are actually his songs, and he plays guitar and records that, and there's some other songs. So please search in your heart, and if you want to help Brother Alex Martinez, please buy a couple of these or whatever, how many you ever want to buy. They're $8 each. $8, hermano? $8 each. Gracias, hermano. Gracias por estar aquí. The other thing that I want to do today is just give you a heads up on Pastor Rich. We called him in the morning yesterday, and he sounded like he's tired but happy. He came out of the hospital, and the other thing is they were really joyful because they have a new grandson. His grandson was born, I think, a couple days ago. And we're so happy about it. And so we need to pray and give thanks to the Lord, because in the midst of all what's going on, he has these great news, right? About new grandchild. His name is, I think it's Alston Robert or something like that. Robert is second name that I do remember. But anyway, we should pray. Keep praying for Pastor Rich and Karen, and also now for his new grandson. Okay? Keep that in mind. Okay, what I want to do today is first, I want to thank God for using me as his instrument today to reflect upon his word and share with you a word from scripture. May God open our ears and hearts. May I be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak only God's word for his glory. Amen. Let me start off with a story which is real, and then I'll move on to the core of the sermon. Back a few years ago, as part of my work, I went on a cruise on board a research vessel, which is not too big. It's actually only 75 feet long. It was a typical early February in the Sea of Cortez when you get gusts of wind for 3 to 5 days. Followed by a period of 3 to 4 days of beautiful calm, almost flat sea. If you've been here in wintertime, you know that that's what happens here in this area. Anyway, we were crossing the Gulf from the coast of Sonora, just north of Tiburon Island, towards Baja California, which with calm weather you can do in some maybe 8 to 10 hours, depending on your boat's speed. Well, suddenly, in the middle of the Gulf, the wind began to howl increasingly, and the swell started to become bigger by the minute, until sun would come over the superstructure of the boat. I vividly recall at the bridge, being at the bridge with the captain, praying that we could make it to the very northern tip of Angel de la Guarda Island, where there is a small embayment called Puerto Refugio, which means refuge port. After some hours, we got there, and in a safe spot, we threw the anchor. Inside the small bay, we could still hear and feel the roaring wind, but the sea was as flat as a swimming pool. You can imagine how every one of us on board felt. I was even more relieved because among the scientific crew was my son, Andres, in what was his first research cruise as a student of marine biology. It turns out that I was the cruise leader, and so my preoccupation was twofold. getting to safe port to protect the boat and the crew, and protecting the life of my own son. And now my son actually is in Vancouver. He's studying to get his PhD, his doctorate degree. Actually, Maria is here. I see Maria. She was, Maria and my son Andres actually did together their master's degree in Vancouver, Canada. So, me gusta saludarte, Maria. Nice to meet you, see you, Maria. Okay, no matter how often I read a particular Bible passage, I can't help remembering that the Bible is the living word of God. Better even, it is the living word of our living God. And this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, which is in page 1003 in your pew Bible. The same words will produce different thoughts and feelings depending on the situation I am in that particular moment. If I'm physically tired, I will feel relieved. When I'm worried, I see in those words a kind of a response of God to my troubled spirit. If I'm mourning, I will experience warmth in my heart. But on the other hand, if I feel happy and victorious because I was able to get a job done or problem solved, those same words will bring to me back, will bring me back to earth to humble myself. So, how often do we offer our earthly victories as praise to God? Should I not pride myself of my everyday achievements? Of course, we need to cheer ourselves. There is nothing wrong with that. But we need to remember over and over again, in my case, Miguel, brothers and sisters, who you are, who we are because of what you and I have decided to believe in. This is my victory. I have decided to believe that Jesus' sacrifice redeems the souls of believers for eternity past and future. And because of that, I am no longer master of my life. God is master of my life. Here, friends, brothers and sisters, is the key. Listen, when Jesus resurrected, his victory became our victory. I truly feel that we need to hold on to this, which is the most important of biblical truths. Yet only that, one that becomes reality only when we decide to believe. It is also a promise, and I think is the promise in the Word of God to be victorious. This promise alone, brothers and sisters, if I truly believe in it, this promise should suffice to fill me with the love of God, which in turn must make out of me a joyful individual and bring me what I think is one of the most precious things that we as humans long for, which is peace. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the middle of my struggles at work, during my frequent meetings, in my field trips, or even at home, I tend to forget that God loves me and the consequence that this has not only for my life, but through me, for those surrounding me, for my neighbors. So this morning I want to open my heart and share what the Word of God has for us in this regards. Galatians 5:22 and 23, which is on page 975 in your pew Bibles, tells us this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law, right? Do we truly believe this? Let's take a look. Let me talk a little bit about the context of the book of Galatians so we can understand a little bit more about it. Most experts believe that the letter of letter of Paul to the Galatians was written in years 53 or 54 AD. Before that, around year 280 before Christ, BC, the Galatians had settled in Asia Minor, the center of what is now Turkey. The word the word Galatian derives from the Gallic or Celtics, which tells us that they came from somewhere in Northern Europe. Now, at the time of Paul's letter, the Galatians were either Jews, Gentiles converted to Christianity, or proselyte Jews, which are Gentiles converted to Judaism. New Christians believed that the sacrifice of Christ was not enough to guarantee salvation. Remember Gary Nabaker? He and Denise should now be at their home, right? They are, right? Good. Well, a few Sundays ago, Gary talked to us wonderfully of the same situation, emphasizing about the dangers of our pride in so doing, thinking that we can do a little bit for our own salvation, remember? Now, this morning, I would like to add to this, looking from a different perspective. Let me ask you, and you can ask yourself back home, these questions. Have you ever loved God really? Have you ever loved God? Do you love God now? Are you loving God now at this particular moment? And do you think that God's love is everlasting? Do you understand what that is? Or what can make God's love to fade away, to be extinct? Now let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible thinks, tells about this. Now, the first two questions in the screen refer to what we believe and feel about God, right? But the third and fourth questions are meant to make us reflect upon the nature of God. Before we go on, let me just briefly share with you some interesting definitions. I think they're interesting definitions of what love is, or how love is manifested from a human perspective. Listen to the following definitions. Quote, love is the first feeling before bad things happen, unquote. How about this one? Love is when someone hurts you, you get really angry, but you do not yell because you know this will hurt that person's feelings. Or this one, love is what makes you smile when you're tired, right? And by the way, these are quotations of answers by children no more than 8 years old, but which I think are refreshing, as well as deep statements, right? Now, have you ever experienced these situations? Now, regarding Galatians 5, 24, and 23, today, indulge me. Today I will concentrate in the first three manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, and peace. These three, I hope you will agree with me, refer to our relationship with God. While the rest have to do more with our relationships with our neighbors. How do we respond to our neighbors because of that love? Okay? Let's talk about love first. Let me just start by saying God is love. As stated in 1 John 4:8. Therefore, God is love, therefore love is God. And love is from God. 1 John 4:10, 11, and 19, which is in page 1023 in your Pew Bible, says this. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because He first loved us. Now, I remember when I just had become a Christian and heard these words. I was in Davis, California. I was doing my doctorate degree. Listen, maybe this is too simple, but I will say it again from my heart. The fact, when I first heard that God loved me personally, stuck with me to this day. Never before I had thought about God in such a way. I was separated from God, from the things that I believed in at that particular time. But now, I see it in a different way, in a more loving way, I guess. Now, love is the first manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I think precisely because God is love. We can read this over and over again, both in the Old as well as in the New Testament. And, you know, this is a relief to me because it assures me that God is the same before, now, and for eternity. So I know that He will love me no matter what. And when I fail, He will be there with His arms open like a loving father He actually is. And I need to understand the love of God. God is patient. Just as we read in, we can read in Psalm 86, 15, which is in page 494 in the Bible. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And also, God is caring, as expressed in 1 John 3:1, or page 1022 in the Bible, in your pew Bibles. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. I think these ideas and these words in Scripture are, if we truly understand, should make us actually live in a very different way as compared to not knowing these words or this truth. Now, is God's love everlasting? What can make His love to fade away? Actually, from Scripture, we get direct answers to these questions in Romans 8, 37 through 39, which is in page 945 in your Bibles. It says so. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we say amen to this? Amen. 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 Now, let us move on to joy. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. As a consequence of being certain that God loves us, we correspond to that love saying, "Yes, Lord, I love you, but most of all, I love my neighbor because you love me." But what should my attitude be when I live in the love of God? I cannot be known as a serious, headstrong, or even unfriendly Christian neighbor or co-worker. The Bible says in Psalm 97, 11 and 12, "Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name." That's the NIV version. Also in Proverbs 17, 22, which is in page 540, says the following, "A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." As Christians, we need to be overwhelmed by the notion of eternal salvation. Yes, we will continue, as Bob was saying, we will continue to face heat in San Carlos and Guaymas, problems at work, or even at home. But if in those situations we remember ourselves that we are children of God, Then we will be able to confront such situations with a joyful spirit. You see, joy is more than laughing or being cheerful. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit, and we must show it in good as in bad times, right? The third manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now, I'll take a couple minutes to talk about peace. Let me just propose to you some things. See if we can agree. I submit to you that peace is God manifested through the Holy Spirit. Peace is the reason, I think, for the new covenant, as stated in Romans 5:1, which is page 942 in your pew Bibles. It says so. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the New Testament days, God again and again talked to his people. He manifested to prophets. And then the peoples of God would come to him, but then they forgot about him, right? That's the story. That's the history of the Old Testament. So, I mean, this is great to me. But there was a time when God said, "Oh, these humans, poor humans, they don't understand. I'll go in the flesh." And he came as Jesus. And that's when really God manifests his love through Jesus Christ. Can we believe that? If we can believe that, then we should be joyful. If we conducted a survey, peace would be a concept which will easily find ample consensus. But when we think about the concept of peace, do we realize what do we mean? Let me take a couple minutes to differentiate between the worldview of peace and peace as I think God wants us to understand and live in. There are at least three concept of peace. Two of them reflect conflict, and only one refers to true peace. The first concept is Roman Pax, or Pax Romana, we would say in Spanish and in Latin, which is broadly defined as no war or the absence of conflict. This concept brings to mind the following: if you want peace, prepare yourself for war. I believe it is the kind of peace that has led to weapons raised worldwide with doubtful results. Every day we hear in the news about conflicts and conflict resolution. Everybody now talks about conflict resolution, but there's more conflict in the world right now, outside Christ, I mean. And you know, and sometimes even among Christians, right? Something must be going very wrong with us humans because as of today, worldwide, a total of 11 major and 24 minor conflicts are taking place. I was reading that some conflicts go way back as the late 40s is still on, but some conflicts are new. They started this year. So we humans are really good at going into conflicts. That's a true statement. Clearly, I think this is not the kind of peace God wants us to embrace today. Maybe, just maybe, the Galatians were struggling to be at peace with God by way of arming themselves with sacrifices so that he, God, would not retaliate. This is what I think anyway. Now the second kind of peace is Eirene or Eirene, which refers to personal harmony or being well with oneself. It has, in my view, an emotional connotation and is widespread among present society. It reflects what we mean with phrases such as "leave me in peace," "leave me alone." I can't help thinking of sea urchins. You know sea urchins, right? sea urchins. When I think of Irene, you see, sometimes we behave like sea urchins. We can say emphatically, "I love you, my neighbor, very much indeed, but just don't come too close to me and I won't come too close to you. Otherwise, we can hurt each other with our spines." This is what I think sometimes. There are some apparently minor differences between this kind of peace and the one offered by Christ, as we will see next. I'm not saying that try to find even the Irene kind of peace, but I don't think that's the peace that the Bible wants us to live in. Now, the third kind of peace is the biblical shalom. This is a word from the Hebrew, which is meant to reflect an integral well-being, both physical and spiritual. It is the result of our relationship with the living God. This reminds me of the kind of fellowship in the early Christian community, the primitive church, as described in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, which is in page 910 in your Bibles. This resulted in a beautiful and blessed congregation of believers described in verse 47 of that book, of that chapter of Acts. Remember when it says that they were praying, they were sharing the things that they had, and then it says, and they were blessed by tens or maybe hundreds coming into that congregation. Well, of course, anybody outside could see shalom in that congregation. I want that shalom, and that's why they God added more people to that kind of a congregation. Now, I think that when Jesus talked about the gospel of peace, he, Jesus, did so in a Hebrew sense of peace. Mark 1:14 tells us about Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. But also in Acts 20:24, Luke tells how he joyfully preached the same gospel of the grace of God. And later on, Paul, quoting the prophet Isaiah in Romans 10:15, states this wonderful, I think, concept. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, of shalom. Are you a preacher of the gospel of shalom? Am I a preacher of the gospel of shalom? Is San Carlos Community Church a preacher of the gospel of shalom? Think about it. These passages that we just mentioned and many others in Scripture tells us that for our Lord Jesus, peace was not merely absence of conflict or tranquility of mind and spirit. Peace referred to shalom, the harmonious relationship between God and His people. Isaiah 52:7, which is in page 613 in your pew Bibles, prophesied shalom as the kingdom that Christ would inaugurate for those who believe. And it says so, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So, in concluding, friends, brothers and sisters from Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., remember this over the following week, months, and years ahead. Scripture is the living word of God and tells us that our Lord is a God of shalom. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Shalom. His kingdom is a kingdom of shalom. His gospel is the good news of shalom. And we, His children, are doers of shalom. Shalom. Shalom abides at every center, at the very center of every Christian, or it should. Not only like every Christian's heart, but also at the heart of the congregation. And thus, what we do individually or corporately should reflect this profound conviction. This is how we proclaim the good news of salvation, the gospel of peace. So, are you seeking your spiritual Puerto Refugio today, or refuge port today? If so, just remember the everlasting love of God for you. If we can only say, yes, Lord, I firmly believe that you love me even before I was born. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross, then resurrected, and because of that, your victory over death is mine too. Yes, Holy Spirit, I believe that you live in me and that you are an integral part of my character. Lord, I love you. I am joyful and I am a doer of shalom. I am a joyful preacher of the gospel of peace. Amen.